Contrary to popular belief, most guys with man breasts cannot just bench press their way to perfect pecs. They have a medical condition called gynecomastia, and Dr. Frank Lista of the Plastic Surgery Clinic can help. A world-renowned plastic surgeon, Dr. Lista has perfected the procedure for correcting gynecomastia. Find out more at theplasticsurgeryclinic.ca. Get off the bench and into the game. Theplasticsurgeryclinic.ca.
When he's not writing, he's on the radio. When he's not on the radio, he's writing. When he's not writing or on the radio, well, we've only left him the two options, so he's not allowed to do anything else. This is the Jeff Blair Show on Sportsnet 590 The Fan.
All right, well, you knew it was going to happen eventually, didn't you? I mean, you knew with both Edwin Encarnacion and Jose Bautista going into their walk years, both of them eligible for free agency at the end of this season. Well, you knew at some point there would have to be a contractual reckoning with one or both of them. And now we know, according to the Boston Globe, and as an aside, is it just me or does David Dombrowski look suspiciously like a guy who's just kind of hovering like a vulture over the Toronto Blue Jays? But now we know, according to the Boston Globe, that Edwin Encarnacion and his agent will tell the Toronto Blue Jays that if they don't sign Edwin to a contractual extension before the end of spring training, there will be no negotiation during the regular season. In other words, Edwin will walk as a free agent at the end of the year. Now, no word, of course, from Jose Bautista as to what his thoughts are in this particular area. But here's the thing. You know, let's take a look at this against the background of the current Toronto Blue Jays. This is disconcerting for Blue Jays fans because the assumption has always been that Edwin would be the easier of the two players to sign, right? I mean, Bautista's a couple of years older. He spent his renaissance with the Blue Jays on a decidedly undervalued contract. And, you know, there have been times, and I don't mean this to be negative, but there have been times where it looks as if he's been a little tired with the organization. Edwin, meanwhile, Edwin was kind of considered to be the happy warrior. And let's not forget, the last time he negotiated a contract with the Blue Jays, he happily did it in season. As a matter of fact, the extension was announced in midseason. There was no pressure. There was no rush. It was a very easy negotiation if you talked to Alex Anthopoulos about it. So, as I said, there was always going to be a time when management had to make a call on signing one, both, or neither of these players. And it was going to be that way, whether it was Mark Shapiro, Ross Atkins, Tony LaCava, or, yes, Alex Anthopoulos making the decision. Given the so far muted response to the moves of Mark Shapiro and company, my sense is that failing to get a deal done with Edwin is going to be portrayed as yet a further lack of ambition. Here's the thing. There are those of us who will buy that Mark Shapiro didn't want to offer David Price $31 million per year and who will take him at his word that the money needs to be reallocated elsewhere. Elsewhere needs to be either one of Edwin or Jose, and, yeah, well, at some point we can talk about Josh Donaldson, can't we? Look, the skeptics have owned the day so far this offseason when it comes to the Blue Jays. Blowing it with Edwin? Oh, that's going to make it even worse.
The Jeff Blair Show is on the air on Sportsnet 590 The Fan. Join the conversation with Jeff on Twitter using the hashtag Blair Show or call 416-870-0590. Now, here's Jeff Blair.
Of Blue Jays Central and Sportsnet. He is part of our team at the winter meetings in Nashville. He is Jamie Campbell. Good morning, Mr. Campbell.
Good morning, Mr. Blair.
Did you get to bed early last night?
Shockingly, yes.
You didn't hit one of the five or six overpriced, understaffed bars at Opryland?
Pretty difficult to do when you're not actually staying at the Opryland.
Ah, so you actually get to go off campus.
Well, that's the key. We've discovered, as you would well know, having been to the place many, many times, sometimes it's best to be released from the prison.
Oh, God. You know what? If Christmas, if hell celebrates Christmas, it would look, smell, and sound like a Christmas at Opryland.
It absolutely would. I'm so glad you agree with me on that.
It really would. Anyhow, enough aside about the hotel. This is a, people who listen to the show know that this is a usual ramble of mine. It's the worst place on the planet. It really is. All that aside, so what do you make of the news that Edwin Encarnacion, I believe his agent is Paul Kintzer, that he will be meeting with the Blue Jays today and that they will at least sort of lay down, it sounds like, parameters for a contract extension for Edwin. We knew the day was coming with both Edwin and Jose, I guess, but I think for a lot of people, well, let's be honest, for a lot of people, seeing it reported in a Boston publication is probably going to drive them around the bend, whether it's a Boston Globe or WEEI. That's automatically going to drive folks around the bend. They're going to put two and two together and come up with Edwin in a Red Sox uniform next year.
Well, there is a reason, I believe, why the report emanated from Boston, and that is just this past weekend, if I'm not mistaken, David Ortiz had his highly attended charity golf tournament down in the Dominican, in which both Edwin Encarnacion and Jose Bautista, and I believe Josh Donaldson, participated. And the Boston media was fairly heavy down there, mm-hmm. Because most of his teammates, and I'm speaking of Ortiz, go and play in this thing. So it's well covered by the Boston media. And obviously they were looking for all kinds of stuff to talk about and people to talk to about the retirement of Ortiz at the end of this coming season. So I think that's the reason why the report came out of Boston. It wouldn't surprise me if Edwin's representative was there as well, speaking with reporters, because I'm told that this is not Edwin Encarnacion speaking. This is his agent, which is what agents are hired to do, as you know, Jeff. So
right.
I think that's why the report came from the Boston media, but I also think it is fast-tracked, this decision by the Blue Jays to meet with the agent, simply because, as Tony LaCava admitted yesterday, they had not been approached by Edwin's people. So maybe it's a good thing that it's being pushed ahead and considered somewhat of a priority to have that discussion today.
See, I would think, Jamie, that as much as there are people out there who were still upset that the Jays didn't go after David Price, and I don't want to revisit that because the case for and the case against, well, quite honestly, the case against is a lot easier to make than the case for. The case for is largely emotion. But that aside, I think for a lot of people, the future of Edwin and Jose, that might even be more of an indication of the ambition of this new management structure than David Price, because you can make an argument that not making an offer to David Price, that you're making it in a baseball and an economic issue. And as I said, once you remove the emotion from the issue, yeah, it makes an inordinate amount of sense. But when you have a guy like Edwin, who, you know, you've ridden the Renaissance curve with, same to a certain degree with Jose Bautista, when you have a guy like Edwin, who has always seemed to be, let's face it, the happier of the two guys here, he has always seemed to be the guy who was a little more, I don't want to use the phrase down to earth because that's not entirely fair to Jose, but he just seemed to be happier here. He never seemed to have that look in his face that Jose sometimes got around here. Jamie, if you don't get a deal done with him, if you don't extend him, there are going to be a lot of people in this city who are immediately going to accuse this management team again of lacking ambition.
Well, first of all, don't mistake Jose Bautista's passion for unhappiness. I think one of the reasons why we seem to know Jose so much better than we know Edwin is because he's got a much better command of the English language. And Edwin's not that comfortable in sort of large media settings. He's not that comfortable doing interviews and speaking with the media in English versus in Spanish, as we both know. And Jose Bautista loves being a Blue Jay. You know, I've been told several times that his intention and his desire is to finish his career with the Blue Jays. He feels, you know, to a degree indebted to the organization for allowing him the opportunity to become a full-time player, but that was a long, long time ago, and frankly, he's paid his due with this club. He's got lots of business interests and would prefer to remain a Blue Jay for the rest of his career. And in both cases, as you stated, here comes that balance between, you know, statistical decline and expense, because, you know, I don't think either one of them at this point should have to think about giving any kind of a hometown discount because of what they've already contributed to the organization, and both are still extremely productive players. And I think this is going to become a bit of an issue with the current regime. How much do you pay to keep them on as they get older? How long do you extend them if you desire to? And how much do you commit to them financially, knowing that you've got long-term commitments to Troy Tulowitzki, you've got a long-term commitment to Russ Martin, you're about to get extremely expensive with Josh Donaldson if you hope to have him long-term, and that's something they're going to have to deal with, and I think it's going to be a fascinating decision ultimately. Which one do you extend or try to extend? Do you extend both? And Jeff, as you know, they both have 10-5 rights, so it's not like they'll be easy to trade if that's the direction you think you want to go. So, you know, you might see one of them end up walking at the end of the year and becoming a free agent and going to market and not coming back to this organization.
I was going to say, when I look at some of the contracts that have been handed out recently, sort of the baseline I use for a guy like Edwin, not so much Jose, but for a guy like Edwin, would be Victor Martinez in 4 years, 4 years and $68 million. Now, since we can kind of operate under the assumption that there's about a 10 to 15% increase every year in demand on the part of players, you're probably looking at a four-year contract, something in the range of $75 to $80 million for Edwin. Do you do that?
Pushing $20 million a year.
Yeah, do you do that?
Well, he's 33, and, you know, he's still one of the most feared hitters in the game, and power is certainly with this organization is a necessary commodity. So, you know, I don't know. I would think, based on performance, then the answer would be yes. Mm-hmm. Because, of course, it's not my money.
Yeah, it's funny. We always have to say that.
Yeah, but you know, I'm not the one who is writing the check, so it's ultimately not my decision.
Right. Before we let you scoot, Jamie, I did want to ask you about this ongoing story with Aroldis Chapman, the Cincinnati Reds and Dodgers making a deal. And, you know, at the time, I thought for the Dodgers, this was a genius deal, because not only do they get Chapman, but they get him, essentially they have a full year to negotiate with him because he's eligible for free agency at the end of the year. Now it turns out that there was a domestic incident that may have involved a firearm. We're also finding out, and this is from sources such as Ken Rosenthal and John Heyman, that some major league teams were aware of this, including the Boston Red Sox, that they were aware of this particular situation. I think Ken Rosenthal just said on Twitter about 10 minutes ago that the deal has been held up or is now pending.
Mm-hmm.
But what does that say about the Los Angeles Dodgers? And more to the point, what the hell does that say about the Cincinnati Reds?
Well, I think what it says about the Dodgers is that, you know, they are doing their best to save face from the loss of Zach Greinke. I think the loss of Greinke surprised them. What does it say about the Reds? Well, I turned to John Paul Morosi yesterday and said, I cannot believe how quickly this Aroldis Chapman deal seems to be going down. I mean, it just, I know it had been discussed in the media, but boy, when it started to gain a little speed yesterday, it went down so quickly. And at the time, the rumbling was there weren't many good prospects coming back to the Reds. And I thought, boy, this sounds like a quick dump by the Cincinnati Reds. But, you know, the foremost concern is, you know, the person involved, Aroldis Chapman's girlfriend or wife or whoever it is, and certainly whether or not she's okay, because, you know, it's timely that Major League Baseball has just introduced a domestic violence policy that allows the commissioner to discipline someone like Chapman, even though he has not been arrested, even though he has not been charged, unlike Jose Reyes. So as John Paul Morosi was saying today, you know, he could conceivably, depending on whether or not there's a lengthy suspension, actually lose his right to free agency based on service time.
Right.
So it is a messy situation, to be sure. It's a very sad situation, first and foremost, though, if there's any truth to it.
Well, and this is coupled with Jose Reyes's, with his arrest for domestic abuse. I mean, these are two pretty extreme cases for the commissioner to have to rule on with his new, and they are wide ranging. I mean, they are wide ranging powers, as people pointed out with Jose Reyes. There doesn't necessarily have to be arrest or a charge for the commissioner to exercise his powers in the area of domestic violence. And it'll be an interesting test case. But I know Alex Speer of the Boston Globe is reporting that the Red Sox were looking at a trade for Chapman last month, and at the time quickly changed course and ended up, of course, acquiring Craig Kimbrel in a trade with the Padres. And a lot of people around the Red Sox and a lot of people covering the Red Sox were wondering why the sudden change of course. I think most of us thought it was maybe because the price was too much, although then we saw the price that the Red Sox paid for Kimbrel, and we thought, holy cow. But now it turns out, at least according to Alex Speer, that the Red Sox had learned of the allegations when they were discussing the trade for Chapman and pulled out. So certainly a situation that'll bear monitoring over the next couple of days. I know you've been there for a day now. Are you getting a sense of what to expect from the Blue Jays? Are we still basically talking about sort of bargain basement shopping for relievers?
Yeah, I guess. I think some of those pitchers that were non-tendered might be the focus at this point. We've already seen the quote-unquote big-name relievers go off the board. Darren O'Day officially, I guess, late last night, and Soria and Mark Lowe is gone as of yesterday, and I guess they're going to be shopping in a different aisle. You know, there are some other needs, obviously. They've got to address the middle infield and figure out who the heck is going to be the insurance policy in the event that either Tulowitzki or Goins gets hurt, and you know, the question of who the backup catcher is going to be is a question, because if Russ Martin goes down and at any time, I don't think you want Josh Tolley backing up.
Sweet Jesus, so I hope not.
They've got a variety of needs beyond the pitching staff, and they have some needs within the pitching staff too.
Jamie, we appreciate you joining us this morning. I've enjoyed your work so far. Looking forward to more of it, and let's see how this meeting goes today with Paul Kinser, and let's see what the next couple of days hold for the Blue Jays. Thanks again, Jamie.
I appreciate it. Thanks for having me, Jeff.
Jamie Campbell, host of Blue Jays Central on Sportsnet. He is in Nashville along with Hazel May, Ben Nicholson-Smith, Shai Davidi, and, of course, our very own Mike Wilner, who will be joining us at 11 o'clock. We'll also be joined by Rob Bradford of WEEI in Boston. He broke the Edwin Encarnacion story yesterday. He'll be along at 11:15. From Nashville. So we'll have a lot of baseball talk ahead today. Eddie Olchuk, Ken Danico, Matt Devlin joining us in the middle of the show as well. 416-870-0590, 1-888-666-0590, *590 are the numbers to call, as always. So you know that the Jays are talking to Edwin today. I think we can say it'll be the beginning of negotiations. What level of confidence do you have that the Blue Jays will sign either Edwin or Jose? How would you play this out if you were the Blue Jays? Both of these gentlemen have 10 and 5 rights, which means they must approve a trade. It's possible that if the Jays aren't in contention at the trade deadline, maybe you would move those players. Although I would think if you're the Blue Jays, you're probably looking at maybe hanging on to them and getting the draft picks, especially given the emphasis we've heard from Ross Atkins and from Mark Shapiro about rebuilding the farm system. But look, that there, I felt all along that the David Price situation, while it was very much front and center and a very emotional decision, really wasn't the hardest decision that was going to be faced or that this management group was going to face. The hardest decision is going to be, when do you decide to talk to Josh Donaldson, and how do you go about handling the fact that both Edwin and Jose are in a walk year? Those are the decisions that require long-term financial commitments, and as Jamie Campbell put it, they also require you to balance out the expectations of decreased production as a result of age. I mean, that's just that, that's natural. So there's an element of risk here. There's an element of risk in every contract, but here we're talking about an element of risk directly tied in to age. And if you use Victor Martinez's contract, four years, $68 million, it's safe to say that Edwin and Jose are going to want something in that range, maybe more. I would say $20 million easily. I would. And given the premium on offense in this game right now, given the premium on power on this game right now, or in this game right now, you might even go north of $20 million. So how do you see this playing out? And if you had to make a call on Edwin or Jose, if you've got to commit your resources to one of the two, who do you commit to? Billy and Markham, you're on Sportsnet 590 The Fan. What's up, Billy?
Hey, Jeff, how you doing?
Good, sir.
Good, yeah, I'll get to my point. I want to get to an idea I have for these hockey, these every single game in hockey going to shootouts. I have a little idea there, but I'll go to that after.
Okay.
Very simply put, Jeff, and you know what my stance is on all these guys signing these big contracts and just can't seem to play the game or seem to get really hurt after they signed a big contract. Josh Donaldson, you have for 4 years. I would say to Josh Donaldson, prove it to me every year for 4 years, and the last year we will give you that big contract. And if you decide to walk, then we got 4 years out of them. I don't like giving out these big contracts. I think they backfire. As for Eddie E and Batista, well, you know what? You guys have to have big years. You absolutely have to have big years. You're in a contract year. I don't think you should hold the Blue Jays hostage to that. Put up a big year. You guys both love Toronto, and we'll get you signed. Believe me, those are two guys. Well, you know I don't like Batista, but Eddie, I would definitely want back. Put up the numbers though, because you're in a contract year.
I'll tell you the problem with that though. The problem with that though is once those guys get to the point where they're free agents, they're not re-signing here. It hasn't happened in Toronto.
Yeah, I know, Jeff, but do we...
Let me rephrase that. I mean, there have been guys, right? Marco Estrada, but...
They're a little bit... Jeff, these guys are a little bit old. These guys aren't 23 and 24. If we lose, there's got to be guys coming up through the farm system eventually, or guys... Or maybe we'll spend $50 and go and try and sign somebody else. But I'll tell you, Jeff, the one concept I have in hockey, and I've told you this before, that I like to bet pro sports, and I think we're doing backwards. I mean, don't get me wrong. I love the 3-on-3 shootout in hockey. But I think, Jeff, it's still having teams play for the tie. How about we do this? You got it backwards. How about if the game is tied with 5 minutes left in the game, you go to a 3-on-3 shootout?
No, I got to tell you, we got a lot of calls. I want to talk baseball. Billy, it's simple what the NHL should do. They should do what soccer's done. 3 points for a win, one for a tie. That's it. Very simple. You want to make people win in regulation, that's it. They'll never do it because the NHL always likes to make stuff more complicated than it needs to be. And they'll futz around with 3-on-3 and the rules before they'll do something as common sense as going 3 points for a win, one for a tie. You do that, forces teams to play for the win. Now, like I said before, a tie is a tie. I'm fine with a tie. A tie is a fair result for a lot of games. But I understand that, you know, in the video age and the desire we all have now for, we need a winner and loser in everything. You watch how we cover politics. It's never about the issues. It's always who's leading and who's trailing, who's going to win and who's going to lose. I mean, we live and die with the whole horse race philosophy of winning and losing. So it's never going to change. That would be the easiest thing to do if you want to preserve the sanctity of the game or preserve the sanctity of the regular season game, of the 60-minute game. It's very simple. Never happened, though. Justin in Toronto, you're on Sportsnet 590, The Fan.
Hey, Jeff. Thanks for taking my call.
No problem.
The past few days, I'm starting to get sick and tired of fans calling and complaining, saying we didn't get David Price, we didn't get this guy, we didn't get the top arms at $30 million. You know what? It's a business. These fans, they don't understand that. It's a business. You can't make stupid moves and then be paying for it for the next 7 years. So why not, I was thinking, Jeff, go after like a Scott Kazmir, who is proven he could pitch in the AL East. He's one of a good arm, I think, in my opinion, and can go well with Stroman. And then you go Estrada, Hap, Dickey, and then Chavez and Hutch go in the bullpen. Thanks for taking my call.
Yeah, I don't trust his health. I'd be fine with him, but to me, Scott Kazmir is a number five guy, number four guy to me, he's Jay Happ. He's Jay Happ with better stuff, I guess. And I don't even know if he has better stuff. I got to do more than Scott Kazmir if I'm the Blue Jays. I have to reach a little higher than that. If I'm going to add a starting pitcher, I've got to be adding a guy, unless it's just an unbelievably cheap contract, like a year and an option or something like that. I've got to be adding a guy, probably through trade, who is going to be controllable for a couple of years, is in his mid-20s, and has a shot at being my number two starter, because that's what I really need. I need a number two starter. And Scott Kazmir doesn't do that. Eddie in Fort Erie, you're on Sportsnet 590, The Fan. The Jays are meeting with Edwin Encarnacion's agent today. Eddie, Jose, Josh Donaldson, these are the financial issues. These are kind of the signings that are facing the Jays, although certainly Josh is a little more in the distance. I think we can all agree that. But how do you see this playing out?
You know, Jeff, I would love to see Edwin be re-signed because, you know what, he really has become like one of the most productive Blue Jay hitters more like over the last several years, as we know. And I think since he's the DH, I think it's a lot better that we take the power than have Jose's declining defense or whatever like that, because and I think that, like you said, he is a little bit more calmer than Jose gets a little bit intense and everything like that, but Edwin's a guy that doesn't let things bother him. He just goes up there and just lets it all just lets it go, whether he's doing good or not. So he's probably more calmer than the two. I would take Edwin.
What do you think is going to happen? Give me your best guess.
Ooh, that's a tough one. But you know what? But I also want to add another thing that I knew going into 2016 that it was going to be one of those years where it's like we may not see these two guys ever again. And, because as we know, when free agents come up, we have a tendency to like, oh, no, like is this it for us after that? So I really hope that we keep one of them like Edwin, and we'll see what happens for this year. If we're out of it, we'll have to trade him, but hopefully that doesn't happen,
Yeah, I appreciate the call. And again, it's going to depend what you get for Edwin. It's the old story. If you trade a guy at the trade deadline, especially and there will be teams. Look, there'll be teams who would want Edwin and Jose if we're talking as if the Jays are going to be out of it, which is kind of silly. But if in fact that does come to pass, there will be teams that would take Eddie's power or Jose's power. But the problem is, again, you're acquiring free agents. You're not going to get as much for them as you think you're going to get because you're acquiring rentals. You're acquiring a rental player. And it's not even a rental pitcher. It's a rental player. And again, they have 10 of 5 rights. So it's not as easy as it would seem. If it's me, unless somebody just knocks my socks off, I'm basically riding with Eddie and Jose to the rest of the year for the rest of the year, and I'm taking the draft picks. Joel in Hamilton, you're on Sportsnet 590 The Fan. What's up, Joel?
I think there's a big change in the philosophy of this current management. I think that they saw Anthopoulos go all in, and it didn't pay off. They didn't win. So, as you see by what they've spent so far in free agency, it's sort of piecemeal, putting things together. I think they're going to wait and see what happens. If they're in contention come All-Star game, they may go out and spend some more money. If not, if they couldn't win with all three bats in the lineup, the big power bats, what leads them to believe that they're going to get all three? Again, if they can't get all three, I think they're prepared to dismantle this team and let all three go and trade Donaldson if they have to. I think they may go into a rebuild mode because they're not going to spend. Why would they, if they wouldn't spend 20 or so million on a starting pitcher, what makes you believe they're going to spend 20 million on three big bats each? I really think this team is prepared to throw the towel in and start all over again on another 5-7 year plan.
The difference, I think, between position players and pitchers is position players play every day. I'd be prepared to give $20 million to position player. I've prepared. If I was running the team, I would have at least made an offer to David Price and at least tried to re-sign him. Although it is interesting, I think, that we're hearing now that the Chicago Cubs, what was their offer to David Price? 7 years and $161 million. So you're talking basically $50 million less than what the Boston Red Sox offered David Price. I'm really beginning to get the sense that the Boston Red Sox just absolutely blew everybody out of the water for David Price. 416-870-0590, star 591, 888-666-0590. Paul Kinzer, the agent for Edwin Encarnacion, is expected to meet with the Blue Jays today at the winter meetings in Nashville. Where do you see this going? Is Eddie going to be here for the long term? Like Jose Bautista, he's a free agent at the end of the year. Is Jose going to be here for the long term? Will it be one of them? Will it be neither of them? And how does Josh Donaldson factor into this? We'll take your calls when the Jeff Blair Show returns on Sportsnet 590, The Fan.
Jeff Blair loves to commute. Let him join you on yours. Subscribe to podcasts of The Jeff Blair Show at iTunes or with your favorite podcatcher. Sportsnet 590 The Fan on demand. On demand. On demand. On demand. On demand. Now more of The Jeff Blair Show on Sportsnet 590 The Fan.
Hockey on the station tonight on Sportsnet 590 The Fan. Our Leafs Nation pregame with Stelic and Hlischko at 7 p.m. The New Jersey Devils in town. Lou Lamoriello's first meeting against his old team. Puck drop will be just after 7:30 p.m. Joe Bowen and Jim Ralph will have the call of the game. Stelic and Hlischko will have Leafs Nation postgame right after the final horn on Sportsnet 590 The Fan. The Leafs have six days off after playing tonight. They don't play again until next Tuesday. Eddie Olchuk, Ken Danico will join us at 10 o'clock to discuss that. We'll maybe touch base with Eddie as well on what's going on at the Board of Governors meetings in Pebble Beach, California. But for now, we are talking Blue Jays. Edwin Encarnacion's agent, Paul Kinzer, scheduled to meet with the Blue Jays in Nashville today at the winter meetings. According to WEEI in Boston, Edwin wants a contract before the start of the season, or he'll walk as a free agent at the end of the year, which, of course, opens all sorts of possibilities. And as if the Blue Jays needed something else to dominate the discussion surrounding the team, the contractual issues of its two key offensive players, Jose Bautista and Edwin Encarnacion, I mean, they were ultimately, they were going to be discussed. There was no way around it. They're both eligible for free agency. Both are really underpaid based on the pay scale currently in place in Major League Baseball. So we were going to have this discussion at some time. I just don't think people thought it would be Eddie drawing a line in the sand with the Blue Jays. Tom in Waterloo, you're on Sportsnet 590, The Fan. Go ahead, Tom.
Here we go.
You know what? I got to tell you something. Somebody, I wish I had saved the tweet. I wish I had saved the tweet, Tom. Somebody on Twitter, when you were on Friday, said they'd never heard you as down about the Blue Jays, and that concerned them more than anything.
Well, here we go. I'm going to give you some numbers here, Jeff.
Okay.
We're already at $100 million next year without Donaldson, Bautista, and Kershaw or Dickey.
Mm-hmm.
So how do you? So where do you go?
Yep.
I'm beginning to think that maybe McCowan called it the other day there, you know, Alex and Beeston on their way out of town said, see you later.
Yeah, the only thing is, I mean, getting Beeston out of town was, that was in the works for a couple of years. So Alex, again, I still don't know why. I mean, I'm beginning to understand why right now. I think it's pretty obvious that philosophically there are some real issues, some differences, I should say, between Alex and Mark. But, you know, here's the thing. Even if Alex was GM, he was still going to be faced with this, with these similar decisions. I guess my sense about Alex, I'm going to be careful here the way I say this, Tom, but my sense about Alex compared to Mark Shapiro is I think this is what Blue Jays fans are feeling, is that Alex would at least go to ownership and try to make a case for doing stuff. That doesn't mean ownership's going to sign off on it, in which case, if you're the GM, you go, well, you know, I made my pitch and it didn't work out. I think people are concerned that Mark Shapiro and Ross Atkins lack a certain ambition for the team.
I think Alex may have had a plan for the offseason, too. Who knows? Who knows what he had in the back of his head for trades or just whatever. And but anyway, you know, and we're already at, you know, we're looking at $140 million U.S. right now. That's more. That's 15 more than Alex had, because we had $10 million dead money last year.
Right.
And that's 200, so... I don't know. I can see a few people moving here. I really can.
Who do you think? All right, let's just play devil's advocate here. And I know that it seems silly to look forward to 2017, but start of next year, who do you see still standing here? Let's say out of Jose, Edwin, Josh, and Troy Tulowitzki, who is still here?
Oh, boy.
And I understand. If the Jays win the World Series, we're having a different argument.
I see Tulo going, honestly, because they have a shortstop and a second baseman.
Mm-hmm.
Yep. And, the outfielders, they have a few. Honestly, Jeff, I have no idea right now, because I have no idea where these guys are. I have no idea where their heads are.
Tom, I think you've spoken for a lot of people. I appreciate the call. And I think a lot of people are waiting for a sign. Waiting for a signal. I think people have a sense of where this is going. But I think they're waiting for something else. John of Pottageville, you're on Sportsnet 590, The Fan.
Morning, Jeff.
Hey, John, what's up?
Not too much. I'm sort of looking at this as, first of all, you got Edwin. He's a DH.
Mm-hmm.
I can't see you paying him $20 million to be a DH. So what I'm hoping for is the Blue Jays have a good season, make it further in the playoffs. So what I'm saying is you let it ride, and I guess you'll end up with two draft picks.
I'm beginning to think, knowing now what we know, and thank you for the call, John, I'm beginning to think that would likely be the approach of this management team. The emphasis on rebuilding the minor league system, Or at least getting some prospects in here. One of the ways to do that, obviously, is draft picks. The only other way I see it happening is if somebody, the Mets need a right-handed bat or need a power bat in the middle of the lineup, and maybe they make one of their young, controllable pitchers available. That is, That's the only way I see Edwin or Jose moved in season. And I just don't know based on what we've seen in the marketplace so far. If teams will go that way. One of the fascinating things is we haven't really seen a big name position player fall yet. We haven't seen Jason Hayward. We haven't seen Alex Gordon. We haven't seen Jonas Cespedes. And right now, we're still kind of operating on that Victor Martinez contract as a guideline for Edwin. What happens when Chris Davis signs? What does that do to Edwin's value? Chris Davis was the other name out there I was forgetting. So we need to see where these contracts are going to go. It's entirely possible. It's entirely possible $20 million doesn't get it done for Eddie. John and Keswick, you're on Sportsnet 590, The Fan.
Morning, Mr. Blair.
Morning.
So, quick thought. Alex is the guy that your daughter wants to date. Shapiro is the guy you want your daughter to marry. I mean, I think we need to give this guy some time. I think he's the more planned, and let's take our time, take a good approach, have a real plan for 5 years where Alex is like, let's make a crazy move, and if it works, it works. If it doesn't, it doesn't. Like, look at the Marlins deal, all those things. I mean, he was really good, but I mean, let's just give this Shapiro guy a chance and let's see what he's got. Now, as for Edwin and Batista, I feel like if it was my money, which it's not, I feel like it is because I pay them so much money in my bills. but I would sign both of them, and I would call it my five-finger death punch. So you got your Donaldson, your Batista, your Edwin, your Tulo, and your Martin. So those are your five core guys. Say that's $100 million. You've got three great young starting pitchers in Stroman, Sanchez, Osuna that we're hoping will ripen into some beautiful starting pitchers that will be cost effective for the next few years.
I just got to throw something out right away. I'll let you finish, John. John Gibbons, in his conversation with Hazel May yesterday, made it pretty clear that Roberto Osuna is this organization's closer going forward. I'm just going to throw that out there.
Okay, either way.
But I know what you're saying. The three good cost controllable arms. We'll go with that.
And then in the outfield, if you were to lose Batista, which I don't want to see because I feel like he's like our Michael Jordan who should stay and not go to Washington for the last few years. And I'd like to see him stay a Blue Jay. We still have those. We have Anthony Alford coming up. We got Kevin Pillar. We still got Dalton Pompey. I mean, pending they don't get traded this offseason. And then as for first base, if you move Eddie to be a DH long-term, I think there's that Rowdy Tellez kid coming up who's got some power at first, who could play first. And, I mean, there's some controllable stuff that could be cost-effective in the future to be able to manage the payroll with those, like I say, the five-finger death punch of the expensive guys.
John, I appreciate you calling in. Yeah, it's one of the scenarios I kind of thought about is that the Jays would make a play for Chris Davis, get that left-handed power bat in the middle of the order and thinking a little bit like Dan O'Dowd on MLB Network and just bludgeon the hell out of teams. Don't see that. Obviously, don't see that happening with the way things are going around here right now. So, Paul Kinzer, the agent for Edwin Encarnacion, will meet with the Blue Jays today or is scheduled to meet with the Blue Jays today in Nashville at the winter meetings. We will have you covered. Ben Nicholson-Smith, Shai Davidi, Mike Wilner, who'll join us later in the show, Jamie Campbell, you heard from him in the 9 o'clock hour, and Hazel May are all on the scene at the winter meetings in Nashville. If anything happens, you will hear it here first. You will see it first on Sportsnet. You will read it first on Sportsnet.ca, and Mike Wilner will join us later on in the show. But when we come back, our regular NHL insider, Eddie Olchuk from the NHL and NBC will join us, as will Ken Danico, Devils analyst, for MSG Plus. All that ahead in the Jeff Blair Show on Sportsnet 590, The Fan.